Hello and welcome to another Outlet at Home edition. We are Vince and Ashley Thomas.
Hey fam.
Lead pastors of the Outlet Community Church. And before we go any further, we want to recognize a special group of people. And those are individuals who are tuning in or listening for the very first time. Can we just give it up for them right now? God bless you. Thank you so much for being a part of our at-home experience today. We pray that your time with us is rewarding. We pray that the word that we speak from our mouth is not just simply our opinion, but it's something directly from the Lord to be able to minister to your heart. And if you could just do us a huge favor and just let us know, like, I'm new, whether it's in the comments or if you want it more confidential, you can just send the words I'm new to 770-667-4899. To everyone else, welcome. So glad to see you. We had an amazing time with the relationship tune-up yesterday. Oh my goodness.
It was some good conversation. It was, some of it got rated R. But
that's the only way we
know how. That's the only way to be, right?
Only way,
like,
we know
we
how.
Gotta tell the truth and be honest. But it was so life-giving. It was so refreshing to be around other couples that were like-minded. I loved it.
And where are our manners? Happy Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day, Ashley. Yes, let's hurry this message along.
Oh, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Let's jump back in the spirit.
Hallelujah.
All right.
Hallelujah. So we are kicking off a brand new series on relationships, and we're going to call this series Taboo, the Relationship Edition.
Ooh, taboo.
Now, nothing like Taboo, the game that will get your emotions ready and build camaraderie. So we decided to look up the word taboo.
Yeah.
And, babe, what does that word mean?
Yeah, so from the English dictionary, it's a social or religious custom. My iPad just fell. A social or religious custom prohibiting or forbidding discussion of a particular practice. So really, y'all, taboo is what you're not supposed to be saying in public, right? It's like the secret things you say. It's the inappropriate things maybe that are not always said, but those are the things that are so important to talk about because those are real life things.
So what Ash and I have decided is for the next few weeks, we are going to be talking about relationships in a taboo type way, to where this is not what church is supposed to be talking about. Mm. We're going to be extremely honest over the next few weeks. Each time we minister, we'll have a key word for the day. We'll let you know what today's is in just a moment. But we want to be honest. Like, let's not lie and act like we're living in some fairy tale land. And let's get down to the get down and really uncover some things that hinder us. Another disclaimer that we want to throw out, that this is not a marriage series. This is
right.
not a
True.
Romantic relationships only series. Yeah. This is a series designed to improve all of our life's relationships.
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes we think, oh, that's not for us. But I will say, even dealing just with the everyday social or relational aspects of work or family or friends, those are the same tools that will be needed to dive into a romantic relationship later on. So I think a lot of the things we're going to be saying are just really the basics.
That's right. So I'm a person where it's like, if I had a choice between good news, bad news, tough information, easy information, we're going to start today talking about the tough conversations that sometimes we don't like having in relationships. But here's a key truth about relationships. You bring who you are to every relationship you go to. So often people want to run from relationships. They want to run from connection because things aren't going a certain way. But if we don't deal with what's going on inside of us, we are going to bring that into every situation that we come across. So we want to stop the cycles of disappointment and stop the cycles of frustration or stop the cycles of relationships that are going nowhere, because we're going to do the hard work, which is the heart work, and really dig deep into what's going on in our lives. So,
yeah, so let's get right into it. I'm
go
excited.
With us in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, and our thematic thrust, our text for this week, will be Galatians 5 verses 16 through 21. And this week, we're going to be reading from the English Standard Version, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 21. And it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. But now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these, I warn you.
Now, I'm going to tell you, I did not know orgies was in the Bible, but it, amen.
You,
all right.
Y'all saw it. See,
we all read that, taboo. Right? If that's not us. Okay.
See, you know, it reminds me of, you know what, I ain't going to talk about it.
We just got into the scripture.
I ain't even going to talk about it. Let's get through the text.
Amen. Let's get back.
It says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 19, all the way through verse 21, gives us what we're calling files. And so the word for today that we're going to delve in is called foul play. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you in our time together. Your word is rich. Your word is life. Lord, in the tough areas, in the tough places in our relationships, give us the grace to address these areas. Give us the strength to navigate all that's going on in our world. Father, these times are just so unique. But Lord, we're trusting in you to be our guide through them all. Help us today as we uncover your word in full practicality and in love. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So why did we call this message foul play?
Well, I will say, and we looked up this definition too, so for all of you note takers, foul play is navigating the opposition or harm that befalls someone at the hands of someone they trust in. In essence, foul play happens when one person within the relationship, no matter what that relationship context was, when they've compromised their character, that's when foul play usually happens. Right? And so that's when a wrong is committed, because typically in those times, that person is really just seeking their own self-interest. And so it's not a awareness of how this is going to impact you or how this is going to impact another person, because I'm just doing this because this feels right in the moment for me. This is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm dealing with. This is what the emotions I'm taking in. So I'm just going to do whatever my desires are saying, and it gives no account for the other person.
And so we've got to examine the areas of foul play that have impacted our lives, impacted our ability to trust, impacted our ability to love fully.
Yeah.
Because whenever you're coming off the heels of hurt, whenever you're coming off the heels of disappointment, the next person or the next environment is going to sometimes pay the price for what was done in times past.
Yeah.
And we have the opportunity before we get into new environments, we have the opportunity before we engage in new conversations to really sit and evaluate in our heart, you know, what has gone awry? What has not gone the way in which we've expected? And God, how can you heal us? When we go back to Galatians chapter 5, that text is so meaty. It has so many things that I want to kind of pull out before we get into the meat of today's message. It tells us that we are to walk in the Spirit so that we don't gratify the desires of the flesh. The King James calls those impulses. And when I think about impulses, I think about our wonderful dog, Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Jackson is a hoot. And one thing that Jackson does is, you know, of course, we feed him twice a day, as we should. And what I noticed is that Jackson, after he's eaten, and let's just say we're having dinner and all of his food is gone,
yeah,
he'll come over to us and lick his lips, mm-hmm, as if
we didn't feed him two seconds ago.
And I'm like, are you serious? Like, there's no way that you're hungry. And the more I began to learn and do some studying about dogs, mm-hmm, I realized that it wasn't that Jackson is hungry, but Jackson's impulses have taken over.
Yeah.
And if I can get really candid, again, this is taboo, so we're gonna talk straight up today. The first time that I really found out the real reason that you need to take care of your fleshly desires was actually after I got married.
Ooh,
so
this is good. Yeah.
You know, growing up in church, everyone always talked about the cure for sexual immorality
is marriage.
Yep. So,
and then I think there's even a scripture they use to back that up. It's like, it's better to marry than to burn.
1 Corinthians 7. So as a young person who had learned and ascribed to a lot of the teachings that came from the church regarding relationships and marriage and sex, I'm going to be real graphic, y'all. I'm just, listen,
yeah,
y'all know.
If your kids are in the room, you
put on a Right Now Media video for them.
Right.
For the rest.
That might be
because we're going to talk. And I remember after a time where Ash and I made
did
love.
The do.
We did it.
We did
it. And do. I'm sorry, Mom. I know you're watching, but we did it. And and I remember laying there after that took place. And both of us, I mean, it was a great time. I mean,
it was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are we talking about?
Get back in.
We were both laying there afterwards. And I remember having an urge to go watch pornography.
Hmm. And right then, after.
Right after.
Yeah.
There was such a cognitive dissonance that I said, I thought that the church said that the cure for sexual immorality was to get married. Not only am I married, but we're actively engaging in sexual relations, but yet I'm still being tempted in my flesh. And it showed me that you cannot run from, you cannot hide from, you cannot cover up the responsibility we have to walk according to the Spirit, no matter what season you're in. So foul play takes place in marriage. Foul play takes place before marriage.
And that in your singleness, absolutely.
And each of us have a fleshly impulse. And so, yes, you know, let's move away from sex, but let's talk about anger for a moment. You know, you could have, you know, said all your daily affirmations. You could have said all your confessions, but someone could have triggered you to a place where you black out and you begin saying and doing things that you said you would never say and you would never do. That doesn't mean that you're not born again, but it does mean that there are fleshly desires, fleshly impulses that we have to protect ourselves against.
And when you're in that space of fleshly impulse, let's just take anger. Let's say you're in that space. You're not concerned with other people when you're angry, when you're blinded by anger or rage. You are literally just hurting so much. You want the others to feel what you're feeling on the inside. And this is all that foul play is. It's sharing the emotions, whatever hurt you're carrying, whatever baggage that you're carrying in your heart, and you're pushing that on others, giving no thought to how it may impact those around you.
And so what happens is whenever we don't deal with the foul things that are within us and we aren't aware of what's going on in us, when we get into the relationships of our life, they begin to bleed out in various areas. And
absolutely,
so what you have are people, let's just be honest, people who get married because they are in love with this picture of what marriage could be.
Yeah.
But they're unhappy. Don't believe everything you see on social media.
Please don't.
Don't believe everything that people tell you. There are battles that people are facing that they are not going to publicly broadcast across the internet and even share with people who they consider friends.
Yeah.
And so each of us have a level of foul play that either we've done, number one, or number two, a level of foul play that has been done to us that has shaped and at times impacted our soul and our ability to trust and love freely.
Yeah.
And today I really want to talk about, as we talk about foul play, surviving manipulation, abuse, and betrayal.
This is so good. I feel like this is maybe not talked about over the pulpit as much. And this is why we're bringing to light some of these topics, because we realize these are real life issues that people are dealing with. And when I think about a lot of this, right, manipulation, abuse, betrayal, I was figuring out, Lord, what story comes to mind? How do we biblically handle this? Or what biblical story brings this to light? And it came to mind that Jesus dealt with the same type of betrayal. And we all know it, very, very familiar. It was with one of his disciples, Judas.
And I want you to understand with Jesus as we go to Matthew 26. So go over to Matthew 26, and I want to set the context for you. Judas was in Christ's inner circle, his inner sanctum. And I don't know if you're a person out there where you say, I don't let a whole lot of people in to get close to me. And I don't let my guard down often.
Mm-hmm.
But think about those times where you've let your guard down, where you've allowed someone to be close. We call that in a place of vulnerability. Christ was very personal with the individuals that he walked with, the 12 disciples and their families. especially Judas, who was over the money. Now, you know, if you run a business or if you have an operation, the person who is over your resources is someone that you should be able to trust with your own Social Security and debit cards. You don't just haphazardly put somebody in place to be over something as precious as resources.
That's
so
right.
We have Judas, who's in Christ's inner place. So he sees what people are saying. We have Judas, who sees the work that Christ is doing. Jesus was completely exposed to Judas, and yet it was from that relationship that he experienced betrayal. It was from that relationship that there were attempts of manipulation. There were times that Jesus was doing ministry and Judas was trying to say, well, instead of giving your ministry over here, how about you do things over here? It would be better, as opposed to, you know, the woman who washed the feet of Jesus, instead
yeah.
of pouring and wasting resources on you, Jesus, maybe she could have. I mean, he had all the signs of abuse in the relationship. And I want to talk to someone who is still reeling from a situation, or you may be in the midst of being manipulated, or you're overcoming abuse, or you've been betrayed, you've had to survive an affair, infidelity. And we have a model of how we are to handle someone who has done those things to us.
Yeah, but I want to look into Judas's heart for a second, because I want to see what space was Judas in that he was able to commit such a level of betrayal and abuse to one of his closest confidants and friends. And it's in Matthew 26, and I want to take a look at this. Let's go to verse 14. It says, "Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said," look at what he said, "what will you give me if I deliver him over to you?" And they, of course, they paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray Jesus. The space Judas was in was a me mindset. Mm-hmm. What's happening with me? What's going on with me? What am I dealing with? What am I? And it goes back to that impulse, right? It's these desires of the flesh that come up.
I want to ask you a question, though.
Yeah.
So as you're talking, I've never seen it this way, where Judas, it was about what was going on with him. But often when we're manipulated, when we're betrayed, when we're abused, we think, what's wrong with us?
Because it feels so personal, doesn't it? It's a hurt that Judas was experiencing, or an emotion that Judas was experiencing, that was being pushed off onto those closest to him. And that's the thing with anger. You know, that's the thing with any hurt we face. You know, the ones who are going to get it the worst are the ones who are around us, the ones who love us, the ones who are closest to us. Those are the people that, if we're really not healing and we're really not getting out of this place of hurt, we're going to hurt people, and we're going to hurt the ones that really love us.
So it's important for us to heal. But this is amazing, because there was no one on this earth who walked more upright than Jesus. He was perfect, and yet still had someone to betray him. And so I want to talk twofold here for those who are who've experienced manipulation, someone who's experienced abuse, someone who's experienced betrayal and or infidelity, and you're having a hard time getting over it, because Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He will come to you and ask you so many what if questions. Yeah. What if you would have done this better? What if I would have done this? How come I didn't see the signs? How come I didn't know this? How come I didn't get out before these things took place? Is there something wrong with me? And Jesus gives us the lesson that, no, it's everything that goes into what the other person was doing.
It's the unhurt and unhealed hurt of the other person.
Now, I want to talk to the person who may be doing the manipulating. I talk to the person who is doing the abusing. I want to talk to the person who is doing the betraying, or you're the one stepping out in your relationships. Let's first talk with friends, because I think in the quest to deal with the romantic relationships, we don't deal with the basics of friendships. Betrayal in friendship is you're speaking one way to your friend, and you go into another environment and you speak completely different.
Hmm.
You know, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay.
Isn't that a lot like gossip too?
It's very much so. It's a
gossip.
It's a part of, as we saw in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, the desires of the flesh. See, that's the root to it. of course, the what springs from all of the what we call foul play in Galatians 5:19 through 21 is a result of giving in to the desires of the flesh.
Yeah.
And so to the person who is doing the manipulating, to the person who is doing the abusing, to the person who is doing the affair, you've got to go deep and ask, what is going on inside of me? Where did things go wrong? Who am I trying to get back that is no longer in my life? And now I am taking it out. I'm projecting on those who are closest to me.
And I want to say this too. You know, there's a saying that if someone's not doing you right, or if you don't like a relationship, cut it off. Cut it off. Everybody's cutting people off. If you're one that's doing all the cutting for people, it's interesting. We can't see our blind sides, right? We can't see our blind spots, but those around us can.
Yeah.
And I love the phrase you say, everybody don't tell the same lie.
Right? Actually, I didn't say it. Pop said it.
Pop said that. Thank you, Pops. Everybody don't tell the same lie. So if everyone around you is like, why are you so abrasive? Why are you coming off so confrontational? Why are you...
Why every year you cutting off your whole squad?
Because sometimes we can't see it. We don't understand that we're that person. But if you keep hearing these things, I'm not saying, you know, just immediately believe everybody. But if there's a common theme in your life, a common thread, then you may need to take a deeper look and say, okay, is this something I'm really struggling with? And seek help. Seek help to get you out of that space, to get you healed.
But as we see how Christ handled Judas, because this is so powerful, even at the most critical point of Christ's life, he was betrayed. Y'all, there have been some pains that I'm sure that we could all talk about in our lives that were at some critical places, some critical junctions. But I want you to notice that at no time did what Judas do stop Jesus from doing what he was called to do. Regardless as to what happens to you, yes, it hurts. And we need to have a moment and a safe place to process that pain. But it never gives us the reason or the right to abandon what we're called to do. It doesn't. But, you know, if we just for a brief moment, I really want to talk about cheating.
Ooh,
I want to talk about infidelity. I want to talk about affairs. Yeah. Because what happens is in the church, we want to act like
this, it doesn't exist.
This doesn't exist.
Right.
And I'm talking from the pulpit all the way down to the everyday person. We need to be honest with ourselves so that we can be people of integrity inside of our relationships.
Yeah.
Let's just say that a situation of infidelity is happening, either found out or you want to be the bigger person in this situation and confront or call into the light what's going on. It's one thing to say, my bad, but it's another thing to say, that was wrong for the person who cheated, and take responsibility. And I think that's the difference between regret that I got caught versus repentance. This can't go on any longer.
Yeah, I think repentance is a whole mindset change about this, about what happened, the incident that happened, versus regret is, well, that happened, but that's in my past. Mm-hmm. Regret usually brushes over the incident, right? And because you don't want to go back and visit that space. Well, that's over, that's in the past. Why am I dealing with that? But honestly, a true sign of repentance is when, if that other person, especially if you love that person, if they want to go back to that space because they're still stuck there, that hurt is still there, you've got to be big enough and mature enough to walk back with them, even though you were the one that did it. You were the person that caused the incident. Walk back in that space with them and walk them through your process to help them heal.
That's right. And so in doing that, you can't rush the healing process. You see, trust is easy to lose, but extremely tough to regain.
Absolutely.
And when you're in a process of regaining trust, if you're the person who's in need to regain trust, we would advise you to make it a point to be overly transparent, overly vulnerable.
Yes.
Put some self-imposed restrictions on your lifestyle.
Now let's talk about that. Let's talk about the self-imposed restrictions, because I think we think, well, restrictions, that's not love. You know, you should just trust me. You know, if you love me, you should just trust me. But what about that self-imposed restrictions would you personally help someone if they're dealing with the situation? What are some of the things that you would think that they need to put themselves under?
Oh, complete transparency. I mean, there is nothing hidden. There is no hidden account, hidden cell phone. There's no hidden, there's nothing that can be hidden. In fact, you want to get to the point where you're bothering the other person because of the amount of details that you're sharing so that you can regain trust. You need to be honest in moments where you're finding yourself going back to bad habits and to behaviors that lead down the wrong path. You have to put your own self under restriction.
Hmm.
It's not where the other person who is trying to regain trust with you is saying, I need this, I need that. If you really want to help to move the process of rebuilding trust down the road, then you're going to have to make it a point where you're like, listen, this is everything. This is all of who I am. You're communicating about your locations. You're communicating about your move. You no longer have secret friends, or if they're individuals that you both do not agree on. Now, that,
oh, let's talk about this. We don't really talk about this a whole lot. But if you're in a relationship, okay, and this could be, I will say it starts in dating, but I really think it's more marriage.
So we're going to talk more marriage. We got that. That's next week. Next week, we got some more stuff.
Oh, my gosh. You just opened a can of worms. Okay. Yeah.
Bring it home. I think Ash, we're going to need to maybe hop on a live this week.
I love lives. I'm okay.
What do y'all think?
Because type in the chat if that's something you'd like
us to do. We need to hop on a live this week and kind of flesh this out, because there's so much that we're sensing as we're talking with you all. These are areas that sometimes get looked over. This is what's going on in lives, and I think the biggest issue, I would say, and I could be wrong, but no one is sitting down before they take on the project of relationships, or no one is counting up the cost before they take the job or they take the supervisor role. No one's counting up the cost before they start dating, before they get physical and they begin to cloud things. And no one's counting the cost before we move in together. No one's counting the cost before we actually get married. We're counting the wedding cost, but we're not counting the costs that are associated. So really what we're saying is, before you make any major decision, count up the cost before we make any major decision.
Yes.
And let's just put a bow right there, because we really have to get into forgiveness.
Yes, we do. I think forgiveness is the step to getting out of the foul play, out of that hurt, out of what happened to you. And there are so many myths about forgiveness, right? When I think when we talk about forgiveness, people are like, oh no, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know how horrible it was. Ashley, don't tell me to forgive that man, or don't tell me to forgive that woman. You don't even understand. I may not understand the whole depth of what happened, but I do understand that if you stay in that place, if you live in a place of anger and hurt, not only will you be hurting yourself, you're going to be hurting everybody else around you who really need to come in alongside you. This is how you get your healing. It's through forgiveness. Healing. I love what Lisa Tykehurst, I can never say her last name, but I love what she says. She says, forgiveness is a weapon that helps you to sever the suffering from the source. Mm. So whatever suffering you have undertaken from this person, forgiveness is that bridge to help you get out of that and sever that so that you can move on and heal.
We're going to unplug.
We got to unplug.
we could really keep going as we're talking about relationships and taboo and talking about things that are really tough to talk about in the church setting.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have to just do a live and really delve into what forgiveness is, because We'd be here another 30 minutes. We're not going to do that to y'all today, but we just today wanted to kind of get it out here in the open. This is foul play. These are things that should not happen,
but they do, and it's real life, and we experience them.
If you're on a job where you're experiencing manipulation, you're experiencing abuse, you're experiencing betrayal, if you're dating and experiencing these things, if you're married and experiencing these things, I'm reminded of a few years back, I was talking with someone that I knew and loved, and I was upset about a particular job that I was working. And they asked me one question that I'm going to ask you today. And they said, Vince, I'm hearing everything you're saying, but my question to you is, what are you prepared to do? And I realized that I'm complaining, but I'm also entangled.
Have no plan. Yeah.
I'm completely dependent. And so we have a codependent relationship where they need me for my services and I need them for their paycheck. And it just began to spiral out of control.
And it's an unhealthy codependency. It was so funny. We heard about that entanglement phrase, I think, during the COVID, during the pandemic. But yeah, it was kind of thrown around in social and culture. But it's true. Like, when you have an unhealthy attachment to something, and maybe it's a, well, I need to pay my bills, so I'm still here. That's unhealthy. That means you don't really even like where you are, but you're just staying there because of a need that you need to get met.
So what are you prepared to do, and what is the plan to be able to do it well?
To free yourself, yeah.
Amen. What we want to do is just really close out today and praying for every person who is listening. Our heart's desire is that just from the moments that we've had to share with you that the Holy Spirit has really been the one talking above our voice and getting us today, as we've kicked off Taboo, getting you to really evaluate what is the status of my relationships and all of the relationships in my life. And, you know, our prayer is that Holy Spirit will help you make the decisions that your future self will thank you for. Can we pray today? Heavenly Father, you are so wonderful. You are so good. During this time, I'm asking for your healing. I'm asking for your power. I'm asking for your love. Father, I know that there are those who've experienced some traumatic events and ordeals that have genuinely affected them deeply. God, I'm asking for your heart to be shown, your love to be revealed to them. Remind them of who you made them to be. Father, place their hearts in solid areas, in stable environments. But, Father, as we trust in your love, may you be with us, may you be for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, if you prayed with us, there's some information that's coming up on screen where you can just simply text us, I prayed with you, to 770-667-4899. If you're on our online campus, there's a button that popped up that asks if you'd like to pray with someone. Our members of our prayer team are standing by. And just as a form of reference and a way to equip you until the next time we get a chance to connect online, you can go to Right Now Media, and there is the Outlet Community Church channel. There's like a section that says Outlet Community Church, and we place resources underneath our latest sermons tab where you can go through and get resources that are going to help you to strengthen all of your life's relationships, no matter what season that you're in. But today we'll close out in worship, and after our worship team closes us out, we'll have a chance to really unpack this conversation inside of e-groups. So come on, church, let's worship the Lord today.
You are Alpha and Omega. We you are worthy. lifted up. Father, we bless your name. Your name is higher than all. Your name is greater than all. Your name is bigger than all. We give you the glory. We give you the adoration. We give you the praise. We give you everything that we can give you. You are worthy of it all. You're worthy of everything that we can give you. We bless your name. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise and reverence. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Outlet family, have a wonderful week. We'll see you again next week.